The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. You're welcome back to the Football Pod. There is an unbelievable couple of weeks ahead of us. It's going to do very well, and it's going to have to do a lot to top a weekend like that in Gaelic football. Have we ever experienced a weekend like we've just seen, boys? The drama, wow. The quality, the entertainment. It was off the charts across the board.
You're a sensationalist, Tom.
Shh, no.
It was carried away.
Don't be shutting me down. It was so good.
By off the ball.
Nobody's given me any script ever. Honestly, it was so good.
What was the best game, Tommy?
Oh.
You were at about 10 of them, so what was the best
game? The best game I watched on TV was possibly Monaghan Down. It was absolutely mad.
Shootouts, yeah, I like that.
I watched that in the hide, waiting on Donegal and Mayo, which was very poor in the first half and turned into a really good game. And then I thought Derry and Dublin was great, but, you know, I was really invested in it when I was at it. So maybe I made it feel better than it actually was. I don't know. What did you think of it?
Derry Dublin.
Yeah.
Derry Dublin was, I thought it was a great game.
Yeah, totally.
Very tactical. I just feel sorry for Derry. I think there's so much more in Derry. I think they played very well, but like for their season to be over and without it getting going at all, it feels like they've lost every game, but they're still so good. I don't know. They're just an enigma.
It's championship, James. Somebody has to go.
I know. But I'm just saying like that they're putting it up to the top teams, and yet. Yeah, they just couldn't get it done, which is fair. Look, they deserve to be out because they've lost so many games, but I just think like that there's still something really there with Derry.
He wouldn't be as kind to Mayo, Paddy.
Off group. No, yeah, we know he hates Mayo, but...
I do not. That is absolute libel.
Oh, what was I looking at? Like, no disrespect, as Mikey Conroy would say, but like, Cavan are still in the championship. Are Cavan better than Derry or Mayo? Like,
well, they beat Mayo
in McHale Park. It's insane.
And you know deserve what? To like, beat them.
They fully deserve to beat them. We say there's so many games and there's no jeopardy in matches and stuff like that. And do you know what? That fucking game has cost Mayo. That if they played that game another 50 times, they beat Cavan 49. But that loss has cost them. They're out of the championship because of that game at Castle Bar. They're the hard luck stories, yeah, I agree. We were speaking to Paddy Talley after the game, off camera, and just tough goal. You know, Derry, like, a really good performance again, did lots of things right, easily could have won that game, should have beaten Galway. You know, that was a big, that last play, Matty Tierney's goal. It's a hard luck story for Derry. You know, they played 13 Division 1 teams. It ain't easy. They haven't had any gimmies.
It feels like, Paddy,
they just haven't been able to get over the line.
They've kind of shed the baggage and whatever shadow was there around the team over the last while.
I think they have.
And there's a bit of energy.
I think they were definitely playing for each other, playing for the manager.
Playing for the
cause. Playing for the cause.
Yeah.
Playing for Glass and Rodgers and McGuigan, like their leaders, I think they have turned the corner in that way. I think the dressing room definitely from the outside looks a bit in better shape.
Yeah,
but isn't that tough though? That's it now for them. Their next game is next January.
But I think they'll go away and they'll put down a serious winter.
6 months, 7 months is their next game.
That's Derry.
McCluskey and McInnes back. They'll be fine.
That's Derry, right? Let's just park that because there's a lot of winners to talk about here. I want to just rattle through, I suppose, the losers from the weekend very quickly because we started with it. Clare put on a show. They fell short against Loud. That year is done for them. They got a target promotion back up the division.
Not good enough, Tommy. They've
got a target promotion back up the division two. That's what they need. And I know Peter Keane, speaking as a Kerry man, wasn't happy as Clare bosses the seeding system in Munster, but they got to get themselves back to Division 2 football there.
But that's his job. He's obviously his best interest are Clare now.
Yes.
If he was Kerry manager, he'd be saying seeded.
Yeah, he would for the moment.
So, yeah, so he's doing his bit for Clare there. But
Roscommon.
Are they going to see this?
Roscommon.
They struggled big time. De Rossi's the race.
The Arse.
Davey Burke's comments after. It's
the Arse fell out of the season.
It's, we said all year. It was
after
there.
The 12-11. Don't be blaming me Franny tonight. Tommy, don't be blaming
Tommy, you gave him the kiss of death, baby.
No, but you did tip them for the All-Ireland in February.
I did not.
You did.
Literally 4 months ago, you were like, the Rossies keep an eye on these for Sam Maguire. And it was like, it nearly choked them.
You know, I keep getting misquoted. And I keep, my words keep getting twisted. And I don't,
you
like
can't
that.
Say it misquoted when the video of you saying it is going around on Twitter.
I watched it back. I actually never said it. I honestly never said it. I never said it. I quoted a current and a former Roscommon footballer, and I said that they have the potential to dream and get there. And yeah, I stand by those comments. But the arse fell out of it after the 12-11 switch in March. They just never adapted after.
You think it's solely that 12-11
streak has ruined energy in the camp, in the squad.
Flat.
Not
flat.
Lies. They couldn't get it going. And that was such a big thing. So they're done. But Mayo, lads, right? The conundrum of Mayo. Fergal Boland kicks that point late on.
Yeah.
Against the wind.
Great score.
Okay, an unbelievable score. But
you're going to say he kicked it too early.
No, I'm not. I'm not. But like, just watching him in the first half.
He was.
They left so many 2 points.
He should have waited three more seconds.
Two-point effort short. But like, contrast that with Galway's management of the last play against Armagh. He kept the ball for 2 minutes and 20 seconds and Connery wins that free. Is there not a bit of that?
Could.
Is there not a
you
bit
could.
Of that?
There is. You could make that. You could make that case in that last play for Mayo, where they were kind of hand passing around, and you kind of knew the ball seemed hot. You know, they were kind of dishing it off. They were really eager to get that shot off straight away, and they still picked the right shot. Boland got a great score, but
great score.
I mean, the thing is that Patton could have taken his time, taken his 20 seconds, and even kicked the ball over the sideline, and Donegal would have been in the exact same position as if he did what he did and they got the score. There was nothing to be gained for Patton keeping the ball in play and getting Donegal a point. That's the actual cruel thing about it for Mayo. Like, if Mayo are going for that score, they'll go, well, geez, Donegal aren't going to risk another play because if we beat them, they're down a spot and we'll go top. So you think that Donegal were just going to take the draw, get second in the group anyway, and off they go. But that wasn't the case. And Patton took responsibility, put the ball in the tee, and as Jim McGuinness said afterwards, went for the jugular, went for the win. And you know what?
But hold on.
Fair play to them, but there was just nothing to be gained. It was
as good as Patton's kick-out was. Kieran Moore, lads. The amount of runs this lad.
He's a baller.
And yeah,
that class. Kid is. He's a serious player.
We've been raving about him on the football pod for quite a while. Like, the ruthlessness there to take that on and do that. Look, I don't know.
Having the Jets, Toby, at that stage of the game, you haven't played wing back. The way Donegal play, like, it was phenomenal stuff. Overly harsh here on Mayo. Like, poor old Jack Carney there, like, you know,
he's
a couple of goal chances, which he panics and just hits them straight at Patton. Not great. He gets back into that position where he's shadowing Kieran Moore, and they're just thinking, what does this guy want to do here? Like, I mean, he's got to come back in onto his right foot. Just show him down the line, make him take a shot on his left foot, make him turn back, and just gets inside very easy. I suppose, look, you're knackered. It's literally the 70th minute of the game. But Mayo look back on that score. As brilliant as Boland's score was, and the balls to take that, because was that the best shot? It was risky.
He watched it all the way.
The behind was beautiful because it's some swing on it. Like, so, like, Mayo, you're just thinking, they will curse that last play. Like, whatever, okay, Donegal go for it, but it's just too easy for Donegal to get that score. And there's a couple of moments in there it's going, don't do that, James. And they do it. But to be fair, Moore is the positive thing. Is you look at the balls from Donegal, the score from Kieran Moore, fair play to them. Mayo just, like, it's the Cavan game. Goes back to that Cavan game. Like Mayo easily could have beaten Tyrone and Donegal in those two games and be going in as group winners. Like, and instead they're out of the
Mayo fans
on the back of that.
Yeah.
Fuck up performance.
They must be so frustrated because it's so many games with fine lines. And we're going to move on from them really quickly here. But like, Derry, pretty much quarterfinal last year on penalties. The two quarterfinals to go away by a point. The draw in the Hyde against the Dubs. Again, they played it in the Hyde, by the way. Donegal.
Dublin didn't give out about that match being at Hyde Park last year, did they?
I don't remember them doing so,
did they? I don't think
it wasn't
so.
As big a deal back then.
To Dublin don't go outside of Croke Park, so if they had to travel once ever.
They loved it. Okay. And they enjoyed Park
nice.
Yesterday.
Nice,
I think they gave
nice for a bus trip for the Dubs, like a school tour.
But yeah, but Boland was only on the field 3 minutes. He was only on the field 3 minutes and got that shot. Anyways, they are the losers, right? Why don't we talk about some of the winners and losers from the pod at the weekend? And I want to talk about redemption, because there was a couple of moments of redemption in Gaelic football at the weekend. We had Michael Murphy giving away a ball in the Mayo Donegal game that led to David McBrien's goal. But I thought Michael Murphy's next 7 or 8 minutes was absolutely exemplary. He kicks a couple of points, he lays on scores, he wins a massive kick out. We have Shane Walsh in the Galway Armagh game, who has that 40 or that free off the deck laid on, and he's shaping up to kick it with his left, and he sees something on his right foot, and he gives a pass back, and it's intercepted by Jardy O'Burns. They can see the point. Shane Walsh steps up over the next couple of minutes and kicks a clatter of scores and the free at the end to win it. But I actually thought the biggest moment of redemption at the weekend might actually go to Paddy Andrews. Because Paddy Andrews, my mentions blew up after Kerry's result in Tullamore. And it wasn't for Football Pod listeners having a go at James O'Donoghue. It was Meath listeners having a go at Paddy Andrews. For writing off Kerry at the end of the pod, writing off Meath. He said, Jimmy, don't worry about it. Kerry won't lose to Meath.
So I think Kerry have to be careful.
Kerry are going to lose to Meath, Jimmy.
Oh man, the injuries are ramping up. I don't know how.
I know there's injuries. Kerry are not going to lose to Meath.
But for anyone having a laugh at Paddy's dismissal of Meath there, and I would actually say, Paddy, in your defence, you were more so kind of winding James up there more than the Meath fans.
Well, I didn't realise Kerry wouldn't have any players on the pitch. Half their team wouldn't be playing. But anyway,
all they had to do was listen to Paddy Andrews' Tailteann Cup predictions. They hear the prediction of the weekend: Wicklow to beat Westmeath. Now, Paddy, I want to ask you, because I pushed you on it at the time. I asked you why you went for Wicklow. Was it because the fact that Wicklow had beaten Westmeath in the Leinster Championship the year beforehand in Aucrum? Was that one of the reasons?
Tommy, unlike you, I do my research. I study the Tailteann Cup. I study the teams. I watch a lot of Tailteann Cup teams play, unlike you. And I come on, give you the brief before we go on air, and you steal my information. Pass off to your own. I knew Wicklow would win that match. Knew it, 100%. I knew Kildare would pip Offaly in a very tight game as well. So the Tailteann Cup, I'm the specialist on that. That's my gig, Tommy. So no surprises for me. Shame on you for implying that I'm not a Tailteann.
Hold on a second. I'd never imply that. My job is to make you two boys look good, and I think I've done a pretty good job at that for the last couple of years. So let's just keep that rolling. But listen,
Tommy, your analysis is pure emotional then, like, because after if anyone wins, they're all Ireland champions within fucking 2 years. I'm expecting Wicklow to be in the top five of your what do you call that?
Wicklow and Order Assets. Power rank. It's 50-50 for Sam McGuire. Wicklow win against Westmeath was slam dunk in Aucrum. Just seen it a mile off. That's what you call an analysis.
Well, listen, kudos.
Savage win, to be fair.
To McConville and his boys, because the manner in which they came back from being 8 points down in the second half, the score at the end from Dean Healy, who was in DCU just, I think, a year ahead of me. The last link to Mick O'Dwyer, I actually didn't realise it, I thought it was Colin O'Connor. Pat Nolan had done the piece in the Mirror last year. The last link to Mick O'Dwyer, which goes all the way back to, I think, the 40s. Dean Healy is actually the last one. So Healy, I was speaking to Oisin Langan, who's covered a lot of Wicklow games over the last couple of years. Healy wanted to retire, or was thinking of retiring a couple of years ago. And it was actually his partner that said, wouldn't it be lovely for your kids to remember you playing for Wicklow, given all you've given over the last couple of years?
Class.
And there were scenes at the end of Dean Healy holding his kids on the field after that massive win, kicking that last point. So fair play to him. And now they have a game in Croke Park against Limerick in the Tailteann Cup semi-finals. Fermanagh facing Kildare in the other one.
They fancy that as well.
Listen,
it would say the other semi-final is probably the two favourites. So Wicklow, chance. They've got a chance.
Great story. James, I'm going to pick you up, right? Because your Twitter account is inactive 99% of the time, apart from when you're trying to give me a bit of grief. You're at 38 likes and counting for your Tommy Rooney Kiss the Deck comment.
38, woo!
An off the ball tweet this morning, which I want to say, like, kind of missed the point of what I was saying. I was talking about the young lads in the Meath and Monaghan team at the minute. Fellas like Louis Kelly and Stephen Mooney on a Monaghan side of things. Louis Kelly comes off the bench and does an unbelievable job in Oran Murdoch in that game. And then on the Meath side of things, Rory Kinsella, who's dynamite, John Rafferty, who's broken in this year, Sean Coffey, Connor Duke nominated for Footballer of the Week this week.
5 points, too.
Yeah, I was just talking, Paddy, I suppose, about the potential of these lads and how it's limitless in terms of where they can go, right? And that might seem like a fairly flippant comment to throw out there, but these are lads that I'm looking at who have a little bit of success at underage level, right? They clearly want to play inter-county football and they're made for it. They're bred for it. They have the S&C work done. I think they can only get better. And I think with the right management teams around them, I think they're going to flourish under the new rules. And that's sort of what I was saying, James. I wasn't saying that Meath and Monaghan were going to win SAM this year. I was saying that the players can really build on what they've got around them this year. I don't know whether you agree with that or not, but yeah.
Okay.
Was that a question?
What do you want me to do with that?
I thought I needed
this is just you trying to clarify what you said already this morning.
Yeah, but you weren't happy with it. I was delighted with it.
I'm delighted with it because you're giving the kiss of death to so many teams at the moment that eventually it's only going to be Kerry who can possibly win. Because they're the one team we won't give it to.
The last thing you should do is clarify yourself, isn't it?
Yes, I think so, absolutely.
Yeah. So what about the lack of respect shown by Kerry to Meath?
Is Meath beating Kerry is the result of the weekend, I would say.
We're 17 minutes into the pod.
I have to say that's the big surprise result of the weekend.
It's maybe the
matter of that victory.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. To be honest, it did send shockwaves through Kerry, I would say. I think that Kerry could easily make the case that they had injuries to Dermot O'Connor, Shawnee Shea, Paddy Clifford, Paul Ganey, but Meath had plenty injuries themselves and Meath showed up and were awesome. And Kerry just did not perform at all. I actually said it on the pod last week, they were going to struggle maybe aerially because they have injuries there and have to shuffle people around in those positions. And Meath dominated there on the break, especially. And Kerry struggled. And like that does put a spanner in the works for Kerry's season because obviously they've lost the luxury of the 2 week break. They're going into home game against Cavan. And now they're rushing fellas back from injury. So, I mean, you'd have to say fair play to Meath, but it doesn't do Kerry any favour losing that game. It'd be interesting to see who they actually almost risk against Cavan because I know that Jack won't be
a great draw
that game lightly. It's a decent draw in terms of
it's a phenomenal
through.
Draw.
But once you're at home, you're happy. But I'm saying he's not going to take he has to play Dermot O'Connor now if he's any bit fit. He has to play Shawnee and he has to play Paddy Clifford. And then if you do happen to come away from that game with a win, which you should, you're into a quarterfinal against Armagh the following week. So they've lost a bit of control over the season. Is my point?
How much did the because I know poor Kerry have a lot of injuries. How much do the injuries have an impact at the weekend on Kerry? Poor Kerry.
I don't appreciate.
Who are you missing? There was an undertone, a sinister undercurrent to that question.
Give us a list there. Who are you missing?
A raised eyebrow.
Who are you missing there? Give us a list there of who you're missing.
Oh, he's coming for you, Jimmy. Imagine, this is what he's like if Meade actually get good.
No, just remind me. Poor.
Like, unbearable.
You know,
if you were listening to me 30 seconds ago, I listed them all.
Okay, right. Yeah. Poor Kerry. Do you want to give it again, though? Just to remind people, just so people know. Like,
I said that Meade also had injuries and played very well.
But I would argue, just for argument's sake.
Is this because it's 8 o'clock in the evening or is it because me one? I'm not sure. It's like a combo of the two.
Just bar like Paddy Clifford, right? I would argue, because we know how important Paddy is to how Kerry play, I would argue that Meade's injuries were more significant.
Fucking what a shot of shame, Dermot O'Connor.
No, but to Meade, Paddy. I don't know. Look, listen. I'll let you dismiss me in a second, like you dismissed Meade last.
But hang on, Tommy. I think you've picked me up wrong. I'm not making an excuse for Kerry losing, saying it was down to the injuries. I said it could be argued that was the case, but also Meade had the injuries as well
for sure. And I'm going to ask
showed up and deservedly won the game.
I'm going to ask you about the softness that is apparent in Kerry's setup at the moment. I'm going to ask you about that, but Just to make the point
here. That me jersey I had upstairs is going in the bin.
Good.
Go on in it.
Because I will not rest until we're hated by the country again. Because that means we're back
he's
in the
morphed place. To the fucking Mick Lyons at the corner there now.
Well, I just want to say.
Fucking Jerry McAtee's come on the pod and here
make, host tonight, and make the point here, right? Because and look, do well for Kerry to realise that meeting Cavan this weekend. There was a softness about Kerry at the weekend. There was a softness about the manner in which they approached that game, the manner in which they sauntered up the road to Tullamore. And I know it was a long journey for Kerry this week. I know that. But I wasn't sure whether Meade would have, I suppose, the conviction to take down both Dublin and Kerry in the same season. And I just wonder why you think that was. Why have Meade been able to beat Dublin and Kerry in the same season?
I mean, we said it a couple of weeks before when they obviously had the issues with the coaches and they left and the panel would have been left there, you know, hands wide open saying, what's going on? Where are we going to go from here?
Mm.
And the fact that they have been able to pull together as a group and beat the Dubs convincingly and beat Kerry convincingly shows so much character in that dressing room. And so much guts, and I couldn't give him enough credit. And I agree with you. Kerry probably did go up there a little bit lax, maybe. They could have done that. Now, that, again, that's not an excuse for jumping it. They could have gone up there. But, I mean, Meade deservedly won the game.
Yeah.
Like, their two-point shooting was outstanding. Their accuracy, their legs, their engines, their aerial ability, everything was on point. And Kerry weren't there. And it puts a few question marks over Kerry's panel. If they're missing four or five fellas, do we have the depth that the top teams have? There's going to be question marks over that, which is fair.
They don't. Kerry don't have that depth.
Yeah, they don't at the moment. So I think that's where Kerry are at. But I still think the reason I would give Kerry every chance in the world against most teams is because Kerry can kick the ball. If you looked at Jim McGuinness's interview after the game, right? And Donegal went to the well against Mayo.
Mm.
Jim McGuinness said, look at that Mayo team. They have so much athleticism and so much strength and power or something along those lines. Or so much conditioning. And that's why it was so tight. You can kick around conditioning. You can kick around the gym. Like, everything doesn't come back to how strong you are, or how fast you are, or how big you are. Like, you can play football around all those attributes. They're secondary attributes. The primary thing in football is catching, and the second one is kicking. If you can do them, you are on a winner. Then down the list is the conditioning. And that's why I think that at times Donegal don't kick around that, and if a team has it on them conditioning-wise or strength-wise, they might not be able to outplay them. So Kerry might not have it or might not have the depth. But if they can get their kicking game right against teams, they can expose them.
Jimmy, the three best kickers are injured at the weekend. We don't know what the story is, whether they're going to be back or not. There's no luxury of time for players to go back. Kerry, without those three guys, the depth isn't there. That's the reality. There's no point down to the road that if those guys are missing, Kerry are not going anywhere. And the worry for them going forward is that performance against Meade. Even if you're missing players like that, a team that wins all Ireland champions don't put on a performance like that. Like, that is the major, major worry for them going forward. They've got the best draw they could have got, Cavan or not. Cavan shouldn't be in this stage of championship. So they win that, but quarterfinal at Croke Park a week later. They need those three guys back, whether they're available or not, but they also, Tommy's kind of stitching you up a bit there, but that is a bit of a narrative. Like, that dog, that fight, that edge in Kerry, we're just not seeing it. We're not seeing it. And Saturday's result could go two ways. It could be a kick in the backside, and lots of teams are getting these kicks in the backside, and how they respond to it. They've got one of the most experienced managers in the country. They still have quality in that team. And guys, nearly all of them were there when they won the All-Ireland a couple of years ago. But just red lights for me. A performance like that, yeah, they're missing players. It was just so far off winning an All Ireland, that level of performance.
But I think if you took four fellas,
question marks over. No, I get that. And they're three, the three lads Sean O'Shea, Paddy Clifford, Dermot O'Connor. They're so key to what you're saying, that style of play. They're the best kick passers. They're the supply line to David Clifford. I get that. But it's just, there's 12 other guys on the pitch.
Yeah. No, you know, I know. It definitely exposed the...
What are they doing? Quality. You know?
Yeah. Do you know what, as well, it says, do you know, with some teams, I think Kerry play more kind of off the cuff at times and maybe less rigid. Do you know, if you've injuries at times, sometimes I think the more coach teams or the more rigid teams, you can kind of fit fellas in a bit easier and they'll play to the system and do the right thing and give a 7.5 or an 8 out of 10 performance. Whereas I don't think the Kerry have that level of structure. Like, even if you look at Armagh's panel and Armagh's team, like, they could take any one or two or three out,
yeah,
and put two or three in.
They're not as reliant on people. Yeah.
They're not as reliant. They play more to a system and they play more structured plays.
But also the base level. The base level of their second tier players is so high. Can I double down on my softness point, right? Because the exact same softness and lack of championship paranoia was totally evident in Dublin in their defeat to Meath in April, right? And I just want to say that watching them up close in the Derry game, obviously it feeds into the Kerry conversation about getting your best players in the field. That's such a basic principle of Gaelic football or sport. And just to mention them, Ronan Jones, Matthew Costello and James Conlon were the three Meath players I was talking about. They're as important to Meath as the Kerry lads are to Kerry. But the Dubs obviously managed to get back. John Small, who I saw him in the second half playing, the best second half I've seen him play for Dublin in a long time. They had Conor Callaghan back in the field. Conn, to me, looked like he was at 70%. There was at one stage in the first half where he's one-on-one inside of Brendan Rodgers and Scully is looking for him. I think it's Scully on the ball or maybe it's Howard. They're looking to play it one-on-one inside. And Conn essentially just says, no, like, don't give me that ball one-on-one. But Conn was still able to get points off both throw-ins, kick points late on off his right and off his left. And the difference that he made to Dublin, getting their best players in the field, was huge. But they also played with an aggression and a dog. So that can come.
But they weren't qualified.
Dublin.
I mean, Dublin still had to get a result.
They still had to get a result. They need to get a result, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's very different. Now, I'm not saying you should go into a game with a bad attitude ever. Of course, I'm not saying that before you jump on that.
Obviously,
when you're playing for your life, it's easier to get to that level. And it might be a case of leadership on that Kerry team or whatever. They didn't get to that level, fine. You can ask those questions. But when you are playing for your life, I think you're going to get that level easier. So we won't see a true Kerry until arguably this weekend and then again in the Armagh game if they are to get through.
Will you see it this weekend?
They won't need it this weekend.
I don't know. It depends who's playing.
The point they're making, Jimmy, for you with Kerry, is that the reaction to that match, Dublin were diabolical against Meath in the Leinster Championship. And whatever way they dress it up, they thought they were going to win that game comfortably. And they were caught. They were way, 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 way off it. And we see the response they gave, very positive from McCann, Kieran Kilkenny, they were all playing against Meath.
Yeah.
Dublin didn't have injuries against Meath. They were just not at the races. And that was their kick in the hole. And they came back and they went over to Salt Hill and they beat Galway. They didn't perform against Armagh and they came back with a massive performance to beat Derry. Kerry, that's the situation there and now. What is the response from that team? They, like I say, it's a good draw, they'll get through, but if they play Armagh at all in a quarter final,
that is what the draw will be. That is who they will play.
It has to be an unbelievable turnaround from what we've seen. But that's, you're banking on Jack O'Connor's experience, Kerry leadership, you know, the likes of David Clifford, Tyke Morley, Joe O'Connor, we're talking about him stepping into a leadership position. All these guys, Shane Ryan, that experience that they could come and deliver a performance and pull something out of the bag. But you would have to say, I don't know if I'd be putting my house on that. That's not trying to be a bollocks about things with Kerry. It's just, I'd had Saturday was just the latest kind of warning signs around it, but Saturday was just really, really bad.
But I think there's been blind faith with Kerry as well at times in terms of like Kerry.
Because Kerry, David Clifford's there and all that
favorites. Stuff. But I don't think that they've got to those levels at all this year. Like even the last league game before the final, they could have ended up in a relegation battle. So the league was that tight that they ended up going on to the league final and winning it, and it might have just kind of covered over a few things. Then you're going into a Munster Championship, which is, let's face it, it's a waste of time. Like, at least 30% of the games are a waste of time. So,
but it has been for them. But like, yeah, but
I guess. Tell me on your point, right? If we move on from Kerry, because talk about Kerry.
Yeah, no, I just want to talk about Meath.
Does this weekend? This is what I'm going to say about Meath. Like, does this weekend show? Like, we're talking about this being the most open championship ever. There's nothing between the teams. Really, like, are we at the stage where we think could Monaghan, could Meath win the All-Ireland? Is that what we're trying to get at here? If Dublin and Kerry are so shit, the traditional powerhouses, if Donegal are seemingly on their last legs, and Shumeo could have taken them out, Galway, we just don't know where they're at. Like, what do we think is coming in this championship?
Yeah, well, listen, I've consistently said Meath weren't ready to win the Leinster Championship. And I believe there was obviously a lack of respect, but I don't blame Kerry or Dublin for that. Like, Kerry bet Meath by 218 to 9 points last year. Meath roll over and let Kerry tickle their bellies in the All-Ireland Round-Robin Series last year. To play 12.
Tommy, I don't think as a Meath supporter you even want to win anything. You just want to be smug after a win like this.
That's not true. I'm not being smug. You just want to throw
a bit of shade.
You're fairly smug, Tommy, but that's okay.
I'm not being smug here. I'm not being smug. I'm trying to make the point that the level that this group have got to, the level they've got to this year compared to last year, 319 to 12 against the Dubs last year. Like, the level they've managed to get themselves to, and James, you were making the point about grabbing it by the scruff of the neck when the two coaches walked out, and I have it on very good authority that a couple of fellas from left field were the ones in the dressing room that spoke about what it meant to play for Meath and to get this going, that it was their group. And it actually surprised a few people that it was a couple of the younger lads. Like, there's a hell of a young generation there that have now given themselves an unbelievable chance. And, like, they're becoming heroes to the young people of Meath. And it's the exact same thing in Monaghan. Paddy, I'm not going to sit here and say that Meath and Monaghan are going to win in All-Ireland, but they're going to give...
I'm not saying that tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
like,
no, I know
this championship was so open. Like, every single team is flawed, with the possible exception, the one where you're confidently saying those guys are doing it, is Armagh.
Yeah, and if Down had put...
Everyone else has question marks.
If Down had put themselves into the position of being in an All-Ireland quarterfinal this weekend, I am convinced Down are going to cause Galway serious bother. And I'm convinced that if Down get through the Crow Park...
Red flags with Galway as well, like, big style.
There are. We might talk about that after the break.
Not feeling it with them. They're just not playing well. And only a bit of Shane Watts magic gets them over. But how reliable is that consistently?
I watched back that game today. I thought there was things that I liked. There was things I liked that I saw in that game. I still think Galway could save themselves I still think Galway can do something, lads. You know, I saw Daniel.
Good draw. Could have been Clarity or Ballymafay. That would have been box office, though, I have to say. I was hoping for one of those games to come out of the hat today.
Yeah, I don't think
Did we get word on Cormor? What's the story with him?
No, it does sound like it's another couple of weeks, though. But I don't think it's fatal on Galway. Would you think it's fatal on Galway, James?
At half time, I was like, my God, what is going on up there? For what they have on paper, the dreaded paper, to churn that out in a must-win game against an Armagh team that didn't need to win, didn't need to play with that fire that I spoke about, and rested fellas, to be that far down at halftime. But then it spun on its head then, because whatever was said at halftime, Joyce must have given them the biggest rollicking of their lives, because they came out straight away and went for it. And as you said, in Walsh, they have a player that you would watch every day of the week and twice on Sunday. The quality he has, if he's on it and he's tuned in mentally, he is that X factor player that could get them over the line in the quarterfinal, semi-final, or final. So I wouldn't rule him out. But at halftime, I was thinking every bad thing you could think about a team.
The start of their second half, Paddy, was pretty exceptional. Like, or James, if you want to jump in here as well. Like, Cook gets an early point. They steal a Rafferty kick out. We might come back to him in a minute. He was outrageous. Finnerty, I thought, showed unbelievable leadership in that game. Young Matthew Thompson kept trying to make something happen. They have fellas on the team that can do that. And I thought Sean Fitzgerald made a big difference in defence as well. Like, McDay gets a point. They get the goal from Maher, who comes through for his first championship goal. there's plenty of quality there. Like, they are coming up against really strong opposition, though.
That's never a question.
But I know that.
Galway's quality is, no way is that a question.
No, I know that, right? But maybe we're judging Galway, like, you know, off a defeat to Dublin, right? A draw with Derry, and now a win against Armagh, but a 1-point win against Mayo. Like, that's all Division 1 opposition here that we're judging them against, you know?
The thing is that Armagh kicked 27 points the weekend at their ease in a game they didn't have to win. They were true top of the group anyway. I mean, you think that if Galway were going into a do or die game there, that every score they gave up would be hard earned, and it wasn't. That's the little bit. You can say all about the quality and the this, to that. You have to be so hard to beat to let Armagh come through for 27. 27 in do or die games, it's a lot, you know?
Yeah. That's the one caveat
I feel, as good a game as Monaghan and Down was, and some amazing scores. It was like, it was brilliant entertainment, incredible to watch, but it was just like basketball. Like,
there was a bit of that.
Which was, look, great to see, but you're taking again, winning the whole thing, you would worry, is there enough kind of being hard to play against there, like, as good as that was on Sunday. I don't know.
You're talking about Monaghan Down, or are you talking about our goal with her?
No, but Monaghan Down, I know the rules have changed, we're seeing more scores, it's more exciting, but you do feel like the All-Ireland champions, whoever it is going to be, will have that bit of steel and that bit of structure, be hard to break down as well.
I don't know, with the new rules and the new structure.
You think it's just a shootout all the way through?
I just think
the All-Ireland final is going to be 30 points to 28.
I think we've got utter carnage ahead of us. Like Down, I was so impressed with Down at the weekend. I know the way, like, and we're talking about
kicking. Some of the scores were really high quality. Tavern. So defensively, it just doesn't look right. Like, man, the goals they scored, and then a couple of misses, it's like 5-on-1. Yeah. Like, fuck it. What is happening here? Like, how is this happening?
It was kamikaze stuff at times, wasn't it?
Do you know what, lad? I had a conversation with a listener in the pod, and Yuri after the game. And we're just chatting about just the mayhem of the championship and then what to expect the following day and what was going to happen. Is it like the championship is now a league, really? Like week on week, relentless, so attrition. All the coaches are talking about. And we're making sweeping statements every week on here on the back of, like, a team loses a match and it's like, they are fucked. But it's like, the championship still doesn't feel like it's got going yet. Like, a team can hit momentum when they're at the Crow Park in 7 days' time. And we're talking about Meath or Legends now. Meath could go and play whoever they get and lose by 15 points. It feels like we're still judging the championship off the old days, like, where it's like there's 6 championship matches and there's 3 weeks or a month between games and you have to win every game. You don't. You can play shit and still be in it. And it's like, are we overreacting to certain games? Like, I don't know. You boys
think I overreact. I actually will counter that and say that we have been saying for a long time, this is not at you. This
is just the whole GAA. We are, there's games every week. There's so many matches. And you read all the papers and talk to supporters. And we're on this show every week. And it's like, they're fucked. And then they're back. And these are favourites. And it's like the following week, we say it like Tyrone win a Ballybuffet the following week, it's like a 1 out of 10 performance against Mayo. Then they go, Mayo lose to Cavan, car crash stuff, it's actually cost them. They go and absolutely annihilate Tyrone up at Healy Park. The Dubs go and win at Salt Hill and they get spanked by Armagh. It's like the peaks and troughs across the whole thing. It's just so, we're still judging teams of the old system. If they lose a championship match, like, they're finished. Forget about it.
So do you reckon it's going to be Bob McIntyre and JJ Spawn in the last weekend of July?
Do you know what? That was shit. Like, it was the fucking worst golf tournament ever. I turned it off. It's like, I don't know any of these guys. I don't want to watch them.
I enjoyed it. It made me feel a bit better about my own game.
This is not. No.
James,
but it's just, I don't know. Like, we get this weekend and then we get to the quarters. Like, it just changes so fast.
Yeah,
so fast.
The structure.
There'd be a different feeling, Crop Park.
The structure's a mess. still, I think. It's better, but it's still a mess. With the provincial championship.
It's exciting, man.
I could be way better.
The provincial championships are way better.
The season two series, it has to be better. Anyways, we'll do it again. James,
do you know who
Loud get out and up?
I want to do Loud after the break. I want to do all that after the break. Okay. So James, go in there before I take a break.
No, I was only going to say, are we about the Dubs? I think that if you look at some of the ingredients that I think are going to be pivotal on their own kickout, Cluxton has Okafig Byrne and he has Howard. I think
it was about five in a row, Jimmy. He hit the Howard when the pressure was on. It was like the whole stadium knows he's looking for Howard and they still put it out. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
But they fucking beat us in an All-Ireland final as well, on Howard and Cluxton. The fact that they have Howard, right?
Play it again.
And they have Okafig Byrne. Other teams don't necessarily have their own kickout nailed down yet. Also, if you think about Dublin in certain games, Kilkenny's good over his head. Bloody comes out and catches a few balls. So they're good on the kickouts.
Yeah.
Also, Dublin have kicking the ball down to a tee. We mentioned Scully.
We did.
Every time Scully gets the ball, Scully gives a lovely pass into the full forward line. Now, I don't know what the coaching is for teams based on the half forward line, but the primary role for me nearly is for the half forward line to feed the full forward line. Or have some sort of a relationship built there. Obviously, you're under breaks and you're defending as well. But Scully, every pass he gets, he looks up and it's gone into the corner within a second. He could easily grab the ball and decide to solo the ball in and hand pass it into a fella's chest. And it looks great. Oh, Scully's on the ball all the time. No, he doesn't. He does the right thing for the team. He gets it, he turns, he kicks it, and no one even notices it. So I think that Dublin have those attributes. They can kick the ball, they can kick around teams like they did against Armagh. And they're good on the kickouts, and that's why I think they're going to be a serious threat.
Paddy, Scully stood out to me as well at the weekend. Is it fair to say he struggled for form or maybe a bit of something over the last 2 years?
A bit of love, I think he was short.
But James, I think the new rules suit him down to the ground. Like, Paddy, he must have been a dream to play with when Dublin kicked
he's
the
always,
ball.
But he's Dublin always been it. A brilliant kick passer. Like, he always has that.
They didn't always kick it.
There's certain players, Jimmy, you'll notice. You're playing the full forward line, you know, wasted me time here making a run because this ain't coming in. And then there's players like Scully, we had it with Fenton as well, Philly McMahon for us. If they're on the ball, you know they're scanning out to in. They're looking, their first port of contact is how far can I kick this ball? And if that's not on, I'll work my way back. Whereas broadly, 85% of players, when they get the ball, the first thing is beside the let's keep possession, let's mind the ball, Jimmy's favourite phase, and they make a hand pass and they don't give the ball away. And those type of players, it's amazing. Scully stands out so much because he's doing what you would say is the most obvious fucking thing for someone at the half forward line to do, particularly when you got Conor Callaghan inside, is can I kick this ball inside? That is the most dangerous thing. That's what the opposition do not want me to do. They want me to hand pass the ball 5 yards to someone beside me. And it stood out at the weekend. It stands out in Croke Park. That's why it's an advantage for Dublin playing there. They play Cork this weekend. And Scully, like, does he feel the love or whatever? Did they have the rules made it a bit more obvious that there's more space to kick it into? Yeah. You know, just when he was out of the team, he wasn't playing that way. So players have that. The sides are not struggling, a bit of a knock or a niggle or just not at top form. Dublin can play somewhere else, but I think he is pivotal for what Dublin are trying to do. I absolutely love it because your icon was kind of cruising through the game and he scores 5 points for play.
What do you reckon with that percentage was?
I don't know. It didn't feel like it was his rampage at best. You were there very, very wet, tough, slippery conditions, you know, skipping over the ground, it's not the same. And also, like a hamstring injury. You know, Desi Farrell alluded to it after. It was kind of, should we start him or not? So he's not at 100%, but it was a game where Abu Kerry and Iran, Dublin had to win. And if Conn wasn't playing in that game, Dublin probably would be out of the championship. You know what I mean? That's how well Derry performed and how tight that game was. So it's brilliant. The positive news, talking to Dublin supporters after the game, they've got through the game with no injuries. Lee Gannon is back. Old Merchant was back on the pitch.
Made a big difference.
And Smalley was back, getting back to what we no, he can do it when he has been before. You know, he came back, you know, he's back a couple of weeks and he played that Meade game. He was just not ready for that type of game. So there, whatever Bill can, we all know how important he is, but defensively Dublin look a lot better by having Lee Gannon, John Small and Owen Burchard back. You know, because they're, I still think they're a bit light defensively, but it's a hell of a lot better than it was 6 weeks ago. You know, so it was a good night there. But Scully, the way he plays, suits Conn. And when shit was hitting the fan in that game, Dublin have Conn, Kieran Kilkenny, Howard, guys to just know what to do. Just chill. Just relax. Keep the ball. Let's not fuck this up. Let's not do anything stupid. And that is invaluable as you start getting into these knockout games. And that's what Kerry are going to try and hang their hat on. That's what Galway and Pádraig Joyce is praying that his team can do when the push comes to shove. It's Paul Conroy, it's Shane Walsh, it's Matty Tierney, Donegal. You seen it yesterday, but it was all on the line. Michael Murphy was head and shoulders the man. You know, the man. And these players, they're the best players for a reason, but if they perform, that's, there's so little between the teams. So little. And I've been pretty down on Dublin's chances of doing it here in terms of winning the All-Ireland, but if they've all those bodies on the pitch and they're looking around the championship, they've got a chance if those guys are all on the pitch, because there's experience and just composure. Chill. Yeah. Just chill. Don't fucking do anything stupid. And that's what got them over the line against Derry.
Yeah, I think Armagh are the only side that have possibly earned any bit of confidence in them doing something or being the favourites. But again,
consistency. They've got Kerry.
They've got Kerry if Kerry could buy Cavan. Lads, I'm going to take a quick break on the foot pod and we'll come back then in another 10 minutes or so on the draw and a few more bits on the weekend. You are, of course, listening to the Football Pod brought to you by AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. AIB are bringing us on the road one more time. We're going to be in Croke Park on Thursday the 24th of July. A couple of people at the weekend getting giddy, asking me when tickets will be on sale. I think whispers are next Monday they'll be on sale. So snap them up quick. They've gone in record time the last 2 years. I think it was 12 minutes last year. It was maybe 14 the year beforehand.
It's sold out, team, without even knowing who's in the final.
Yeah, that was the last 2 years. So keep your eyes out for that one. It'll be on the Football Pod Instagram where you'll probably hear word on that. And it's the Thursday night before the Sunday. No better way to build up to the All-Ireland than with the Football Pod.
Big week.
And guests. Big week. We'll work on our guests as well from early. And we'll have some doozies lined up as always. Boys will be back in a minute.
OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Our breaks can often lead to a bit of something. You boys aren't happy with me. What's wrong with you?
What do you mean?
Are we saving it for All-Ireland quarterfinal weekend?
You see, you know, my point that you can't just react like this every time Meade have a good win, because you get too ahead of yourself.
I'm not getting ahead of anyone. I'm not doing anything like that. I'm just highlighting a couple of things from the weekend.
Poor Kerry, you were saying. Then soft this, then injuries. All we wanted to do was analyse the game fairly. Okay. And you brought it down to a very a low level of
really
of just shade.
Did I let down the pod?
I'm looking forward, lads, to a Kerry Meade rematch. We're looking forward to that.
We won't get one in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. We could get a Dublin Meade rematch, obviously.
I wasn't aware of this with the quarters, lads. Sorry. So the quarters are kind of pre-drawn as well.
Yeah, there's no.
But they won't do repeat fixtures.
Yeah, there's an element of it, yeah.
Okay.
So, provincial finals and group stage is what they're trying to avoid. And it's different again for the semi-finals. There's another quirk to it.
So Dublin could play Meade because they only played the provincial semi-final?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah. So can I just ask you briefly, any other footballers from the weekend stand out? Because there was so much talent on display. I thought Ethan Rafferty, you know, there was a couple of kickouts that maybe went askew, but some of the moments from Rafferty again in goals.
Pedo save.
Off
the
chart.
Mm. He's the best of both, isn't he? He's a brilliant goalkeeper.
He's not actually a goalkeeper.
He's trapped. Got the skills. And then he's so good going forward as well. He's
some pace.
Has he taken over from, I don't know, everyone talks about Niall Morgan and Beggan. Rafferty's gone another level, hasn't he?
This year he has, since he's earned his
place. Rafferty, Patton, Beggan, and Morgan. Probably the top four.
Begging for the down goal was a bit disappointed. He makes a great save afterwards, but he just kind of gets caught coming out, never gets his feet right, and kind of sloppy with that. Matty Donnelly, lads. You know, Tyrone scored 150 points against Cavan, but I thought Matty Donnelly was a bit of class there rolling back the years. And I must say, see the photos of Conor Boyle and his man after the game. I must say, delighted for that. I love hearing a story like that. Tough couple of years. Jeez, I didn't realise. I thought he was retired. Genuinely. I was like, fuck. And then, I didn't know the extent of the injury issues he had. We've spoken
about. What was the injury?
I think it was a few things over 23 months.
Specialist, a couple of things. Like, 2 years. We've had injuries. We've all had it. Never nice. One of the toughest things to deal with as a player, but to see someone like that get back on the pitch, very nice, fair play to him, I have to say. So I thought that was a nice thing to see for Conor Boyle.
He's just 30.
It was nice for him to show like the difficulties involved with a long term injury and even the effect it can have on you as a person. Like, you know, you felt that he really struggled with it, and to come back,
but your family, Jimmy, as well, isn't it? Like, you know, like your missus at home or your man at that, it's like you're a fucking nightmare to deal with because you're just so down in the dumps. Like, and to have it for 2 years, Jesus, it was it's tough, but it was lovely to see.
Yeah, he did a piece with Jonathan Higgins for Off the Ball afterwards, and he's speaking to Radio 1 too. He said, I had 3 in total knee surgeries, 2 in the last 2 years. I had a lot of trouble with my Achilles, my groin, my hamstring, my hip, my foot.
Hola.
A lot of niggles along the way. The knee has been the big one though. And that was the one I probably wasn't sure will I ever get the chance to play again. He's only 30. Thankfully, I've got people around me who supported me and I got that chance. Look, it was a special moment. It's been a long 2 years, a very rocky road that hasn't been straightforward. And there's a lot of setbacks along the way. And you do wonder, is it ever going to happen again? I doubt it myself at times, but the support network I had around me helped. So look, that was his mom and his dad that he embraced after the game.
Fair play.
Brilliant. And you can only imagine what rejuvenated Conor Myler could bring. We obviously saw Kieran McGeary discover a bit of form. They'll be worried now about Michael McKernan going off injured early in that game. He's been absolutely unbelievable for them.
They're not losing too much.
Kieran Dowdy for Loud, some absolute sugar sprayed around that pitch there at Port Leash. There were some beautiful scores outside of the right. Pop a goal in there, why not? A little bit of class.
Pulling off the boots as well, the aluminum yellow boots. He's getting away with
them. I don't know if I'm mad on those boots, but look, he delivered.
What about Mulroy's finish for the goal?
Yeah.
Where he caught it with the right hand, didn't catch it with the second hand and just buried it. I thought that was class.
Yeah.
Nice bit of class. A lot of teams don't have that fellow with that much skill.
There was a couple of absolutely reckless two-pointers at the weekend. I thought Pat Haverns in the first half with the outside of the right, it wasn't even in left foot territory. I thought Darren McMullins with the outside of the right as well. Rory Kinsella had one when the Kerry defence gave him about 38 yards to take it. Any other standout?
Another fucking dig.
I'm trying to fuck you up, James. You haven't played any Division 1 opposition so far.
It's not tough when the players are. This is just turning everyone against Meade. Do you know what the best two-pointer of the weekend I thought was? Jack McCarron's.
McCarty.
No, Jack McCarron's, where
he stopped.
He's fisted the pass on the edge of the arc, and his natural momentum would take him inside the arc. But he arranged his feet where he kind of did a little side shuffle, and maybe even half a step backwards, and then threw an outside the left straight out of the bar. Oh, it was absolutely
Conor McCarty got a gorgeous spectacular one on his left peg as well.
Right off the back of Havertz. It was beautiful.
The whip was like easy after Sky that 100 yards wide, the curls in. It was beautiful.
And it's a great rule that we have. It's a great rule change to encourage a long range kicker. We haven't seen these scores in a long time.
But I don't like the 50 metre brought up and then the players back outside the arc.
Okay. Well, we can talk about all that again. We'll do all that at the end of the season. But I just want to mention as well, a block by Daniel O'Mahony as Roscommon chased a two-pointer late in the game to win it. O'Mahony's block for Cork saved their season, extended their season, and earned them a preliminary quarter-final.
That's a nice battle on Saturday, Daniel O'Mahony and Conn. You have to imagine he's going to go man-to-man with Conn. That'll be a right fucking ding-dong there.
Yeah.
What about Reap's save from McBurty? McBurty will not want to see that again. I know it was a leg block. It was a penalty.
It's McBurty.
James,
he didn't deserve a penalty.
Why does it happen? Why does it get blocked?
Because he probably goes at it with the left leg. If he rifles out with the right,
he second guesses himself.
He thought about fisting the ball over the bar.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
He's not confident.
He's been infected. Why the hand pass over the bar?
He's not.
Disease.
If McBurty's in top form there, he's not even taking it. Bang. Volley, roof of the net. He's like, will I do this? Will I do that? He's not even taking it on his right foot. He's like, I'm going to try and make totally sure this, take an extra bit of time and fucks it up. Really fair play to him, he gets back. But McBurty is, that was just screaming out. He's a player who's not confident.
I don't know about that. He looked like he wasn't happy with himself after the game on the steps of the dressing room in the Hyde.
Why would you be?
Glaring at the
game over if you got it. What about Jack McCarron plucking it straight off the ground for the goal? The umpire was 2 feet away.
Hey, Jimmy,
he was literally
the umpires now. The umpires have become a few.
He was in a half squat, the umpire, staring directly at it.
I'll be honest.
And he lets him away with it.
Did you see the super, 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 super slow-mo version of the replay?
It was off the ground.
It's off the ground. Off the ground.
Yeah, it probably was, wasn't it?
As soon as it happened, we're like, oh, after ground. And McCarron looks around straight away. Do you know that fear of looks around and the ref gives it and he's like,
Yeah, because I think McCarthy was behind them. He could have even, there was two or three men and lads lining up to finish it.
McCarthy missed an absolute sitter then a couple of minutes later.
What about Finnerty's
off the post?
Finnerty's hop dummy for his goal? Did he take a hop dummy coming in? There's a couple of lovely hop dummies at the weekend lining up keepers. We're seeing a lot more of that. It's great to see it.
Finnerty, totally confident, top of his game. Gone to another level after his All-Star. That's a guy who's confident, finished. McBurty, other end of the spectrum, looking for that little bit of spark. That was the difference you could see. You don't think about these things. You're confident, just do it. No way, it was no mess.
Jim McGuinness's comments after the game caught a bit of fire. They've gone around the world and back. How would you feel in a dressing room?
Who was out to get him? Names, Jim. The GAA are coming for him. That's what he's saying.
Well, he said, I think it was the CCCC that he was unhappy with. And he said, it wouldn't have happened. It only happened because it's us.
It only happened to us. GAA out to get Donegal?
I was in the press scrum for it. And, you know, he was on a roll, you know. He was on a roll and he was making sure his message got out there. I believe, and I'd imagine the message was to galvanise the Donegal people. There's a bit of a siege mentality there with the dressing room too. You know, after a win, there weren't too many questions afterwards about the performance of Donegal. Would you bother with that as players in the dressing room? Would that have any impact? No.
Would not care. I couldn't care less.
Surprising, because of all the counties, like the Donegal supporters are all in on this team. They don't need, he doesn't need to kind of get them on side. He doesn't need to get buy-in from the players. They have drank the Kool-Aid. Like Donegal is one of the most aligned supporters, county board, manager, players. They're all in. So to dip into the old coaching manual, chapter 2, siege mentality, I thought was like, fucking hell, like this. Okay, fair enough. The GAA are out to get us.
But what's the benefit of even saying it? What's going to happen over the next couple of weeks that's going to be changed? I don't know.
Well, they're at home this weekend. They're in Ballybuffet Sunday.
They're going to be home in here.
They have an extra game.
Then they're into Croke Park if they win.
Because they're Whitley.
Yeah. They're playing Loud. I think Loud might struggle to get a hotel this weekend in Donegal. The Donegal rally is on, I believe. So that'll be a tough trip up.
Great weekend by all accounts.
I can imagine. You have it in Clarny yourselves, don't you?
We do.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to welcoming down a legion of Cavan fans to Killarney?
Yeah, we are.
You're going to roll out the red carpet?
Well, we've had a couple of home games this year. Clare, Roscommon and now Cavan. There were some years where Killarney saw no game. Yeah.
None of them are classic.
To be fair, they're not the glamorised we were hoping for. Because we were
Galway, Dublin. Clare would have been nice.
We were hoping for Cork, Dublin and Galway.
Joycer was talking about Galway straight after the game, Galway facing Kerry. Were you hoping for maybe a game like that in Killarney?
To be honest, I'm afraid to answer that question, Tommy, because you'll spin it in such a way.
I can't spin anything. Huh? I would never spin anything.
I would have liked to have seen a Galway Kerry Killarney would have been beautiful, though, I have to say. Or Galway Donegal.
Galway, Donegal and Ballybuffet would have been magic as well. Like.
I think
that it's an underwhelming draw, lads.
It is.
You know, I can't sit here and go, I'm buzzing for that one. Like,
but the quarterfinals, Paddy, the quarterfinals, if the favourites win the quarterfinals, will be sensational. From the quarterfinals on, it'll be the top of the pops, as you say. It'll be top quality. Like.
Yeah.
I'd say, to answer your question, Tom, I don't think the Kerry were looking for Galway. No. Absolutely not. Joe. Yeah. Like, Galway are still really strong, and Kerry look like they're looking to find something. So I think that they were happy to avoid Galway. Definitely.
Saw a line at the weekend that Limerick have made history. The Limerick footballers are playing in Croke Park the first time twice in the one season. They obviously won the Division 4 final against Wexford. They put up a huge score against them at the weekend, 421 to 219 at the Tatchin Cup semi-final. We mentioned Wicklow's 218 to 217 win against Westmeath.
My boys.
It was Paddy's boys. They're up against Limerick. We'll talk about that on our members' pod.
They're going to win that one as well.
Yeah, well, you can tell us about it on our members' pod. And then we've got
I'll do a deep dive on that on Wednesday.
Kildare up against Fermanagh as well.
What about my boys Kildare? Got that one right as well, Tate. Yeah, a little bit of experience. I just said it. Awfully young team. Kildare get the job.
Awfully beat them twice this year.
Yeah.
Nobody beats
Thought Kildare they had their number.
The season.
Paddy's backing. So, Kerry Cavan, Killarney, Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Dublin
What's
Cork.
What's that on? Where could you say that if you're not in Killarney?
I'll go through that in a second. Dublin Cork, Croke Park, Saturday, 6:15 p.m.
Fucking revenue. Listen to this. James is on it. His new address, Newcastle West, County Limerick. Get over there. Get his Dodgy Box.
He's getting further.
Newcastle West.
Just on the border of Abbeyfield, between Abbeyfield and Newcastle West. It's
a very James corner of my garden that touches there.
Scamming the fucking GA.
He's getting further and further from the field of dreams.
I have every day. A GA Plus account, I'll have you know.
Yeah.
And you paid for it. You're taking money out of my pocket.
No, I have 79.
I have two young kids to feed. I have two young children to feed here.
Sunday, 1:45 p.m. Down v Galway, Park Essler. Donegal hosting Loud in Ballybuffet Sunday, 4:00. And Paddy, yes, they are all on GA Plus. GA Plus have taken all the games this weekend in the All Ireland Football.
Isn't it? Isn't that classy?
Series. RT
Your Show. So if GA Plus weren't there, like what would people do?
RT are showing the two Tatchin Cup semi-finals on Sunday, and then they got the hurling quarter-finals as well on Saturday, a doubleheader in Croke Park and in Galway.
Showing more fucking hurling thing. Jesus Christ.
What are you doing this weekend, Paddy? What games are you doing?
I'm doing Saturday. I'm in Croker. So we've Dublin, Cork, and Kerry we're also Cavan. Doing Kerry Cavan from Croker, but I'll probably be watching Dublin Limerick and hurling.
Oh, it's in Croke Park. Okay.
Double header. Oh, it's Saturday, Croke Park.
And what way do you think the Dublin Limerick hurling game will go?
Let me think. Come back to you on that one.
Okay, we might do that in our members' pod.
I'll do that and a deep dive on Wicklow on Wednesday show.
James, did I hijack this pod a little bit? Did I come in with the two elbows out?
Tommy, look, if that's the way you operate after one win, then
it's, two, by the way,
it's good. Harry, it's good Harry that we Dublin. Find it out on year four of the pod. Me to finally had a good win that we can talk about and you come out of your shell a bit.
Okay. It wasn't even televised. Didn't even get into that one. GA Plus didn't even bother showing it.
No, but it's in all the games this weekend.
Even though they
should. No one would be watching. There'd be no GA coverage if it was with GA Plus.
You are the king of propaganda, aren't you?
It is going well, though. I must say, I'm happy with GA Plus. I think it's very good.
All the
what you call them, pundits, but all the lads on it are very good as well. It runs smoothly.
Lads and ladies, Ash and Claudia as well.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. In fairness.
Stacky, well, earlier in the year. Edited.
Yeah.
Look, there's
great people to work with, I must say. Hopefully that comes across in the productions.
Sometimes. Yeah. Are you still doing interviews? I want to see some more car crash interviews after games.
I'll try and get a good one now. If Dublin beat Cork, I'll try and get a good one.
Do. Get some.
Padraig Coffey-Byrne had a bit of an edge about him in that game, didn't he? He played with a bit of aggression. I like that.
Yeah, do you know what? It was like coming up against, obviously, Glass. That Glass was brilliant as well.
Mm.
Like, he's been, whatever about Derry's form, been up and down. Glass has been exceptional all season for them. Padraig,
same over at Salt Hill as well, to be fair to him. He's fucking doing obviously. You know, he's even for the throw up, he's just like one arm up. What a weapon to have. It was a great game for him, yeah.
He can move as well. He's fit. He can get up and down the field for a big man.
Joe O'Connor from Kerry, these guys, younger players coming through, takes a bit of time and then they can announce themselves and they can go throw the shackles off and realise I belong here. I'm in this team. So
yeah.
No doubt that was he was key. That first half, he was maybe with him a little bit in the second half, but he was a massive performance for Dublin.
Okay. Lads, thanks a million. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. I'll get this up now. It's late on Monday evening.
Thanks to me, Tommy. Thanks to me for a bit of life in the championship. Though.
Yeah, but I'm just making sure that yous aren't getting comfortable with us, that yous aren't happy to see
us. It's all us now. I didn't even know you were from Meath for the last three and a half years.
He thought it was Clare. He was him and fucking.
He was. Collins.
Him and Colm Collins for the last 4 years. It's like, Clare, Colm,
oh, the Collins lads. Oh, and now one win. He's changed his tune.
I'm only going to whisper it once. We're back.
Delighted. That is the kiss of death that I was waiting for. Honestly.
Clip it. Clip that.
I'm going to edit that out. I'm only getting ahead of myself. Isn't it great? What a championship. We have so many teams to talk about. It's brilliant, isn't it?
It is. Clip nice.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Top notch.
And we're back with our members pod on... We'll have it for you Wednesday. So we'll have plenty more to talk about then. Boys, we'll leave it there. Talk soon.
See you, boys.
Class. Bit of an edge about that pod. You know it's championship.